When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of Plank of the Week. We've been sitting here for quite a long time, so there's a bit of giggling going on. I'm not quite sure why they're all giggling, because it's a very serious show, this. We are here at Talk Radio TV. We're going to be very serious. There's been a lot of plankery this week. And of course, we're also in an election period, so we won't be able to, if you're wondering why, nobody's being named who's actually running for election. That's because we're not allowed to do that. But don't worry, even without those people, there's plenty of others to go at. And I'm going to ask, I think, Kevin this week to kick us off. Kevin O'Sullivan, of course, Dordan Eason. Welcome. Kevin, Thank you. Your first plank?
I'm going to go for the headmaster of Batley Grammar School in Yorkshire. His name is Gary Kibble, who left it for about 3 nanoseconds before unequivocally apologising for the fact that one of his teachers had the temerity to try and arm his pupils with some knowledge about the world. Yeah. So this teacher, we now know, was teaching a lesson on blasphemy, and as an example, was going to show the kids a picture of the cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad that triggered the Charlie Hebdo shootings. Apparently the teacher did point out, if you find this offensive, you don't have to look at it. But what this teacher is trying to do is to impart knowledge to his kids. And within seconds, when the Muslim community, suddenly a lot of men, Muslim men, appeared outside the gate saying their parents were, didn't see any mums there.
Many of whom weren't parents of the kids at school, by the way.
Exactly. And no women, where were they?
And if they were, if they were the parents, it was just the dads, there were no mums there. So it was a kind of a dubious demonstration. But they were
quite
crazy,
well,
saying, you know, you've insulted our religion, you've caused great offence. And the headmaster immediately, unequivocally apologised for the showing of this cartoon and suspended the teacher. The teacher, since then, we now know, has had to go into hiding. Yeah. He's under police protection with his partner.
But he's in fear of his life,
and
isn't
his kids. Yeah. He's in fear of his life. And here, Gary Kibble, here's the thing. He did absolutely nothing wrong, and you showed the backbone of a jellyfish. You should have stuck by your teacher in a free country with freedom of speech. He did nothing wrong, and for that, you're not only plank of the year, you're plank of the damn century.
Yeah, and also there was some other sort of nefarious goings on around that whole scenario, wasn't there?
There was. I mean, the one that I was going to nominate as well, but it ties in seamlessly with Kevin. See, we're working as a team.
I like that.
A team,
I like to see that.
Week.
That's what I like to
it's
see.
Twin-pronged attack.
It's good.
Twin-pronged. It's the first and possibly the last time. The charity, they're a charity called Purpose of Life, and they were part of the demonstration outside the school. And they actually, because none of us would have known who this teacher was, so he might have been a bit safe. He's got little kids as well, remember.
Yeah.
They actually named him on social media. So by putting his name out there,
which you can then use to find his address.
He's had death threats. He's had to be taken into police protection for his own good. And they think this is fine. They think this is okay.
Yeah.
Given what happened a year ago to that teacher in France who was beheaded for doing, I mean, it was a mistaken identity as well.
Mistake.
It wasn't even that teacher.
Right. I know.
But given what happened then, and it's like, well, you know what I can't, no pun intended, get my head round with this one, is the fact that, okay, everyone is up in arms about a teacher showing children a cartoon, and I get that it may cause offence. However,
so what?
Well, people are having a go at that. But they're not so...
They're wrong to have a go at it, because there's nothing wrong with causing offence.
No, and there's no law against blasphemy in this country any longer either.
And also, there is no specifically protected group of people
for whom
a different set of rules applies.
Your demonstrators, Dawn, I mean, they said that no one should have the right to insult our religion. Well, nobody wants to insult their religion. Nobody wants to offend them. That we don't want to go out of our way to do this. But you guys are fundamentally wrong. We do have the right to insult
your religion.
We don't have Sharia law. We have British law. Get used to it.
2021, and as I said, we don't have a blasphemy law, and it's slightly ridiculous that showing children a cartoon in class in a lesson, and as far as...
Which is also, by the way, a legitimate news item to discuss because of what happened as a result of it.
And as far as we're all aware, it was completely in context. There was no sort of like, oh my God, look at this. Yeah. It's completely in context. But there was, I mean, there was one person, I can't remember his name, but he was on Julia's show during the week, Julia Hartley Brewer's show, and he actually... had to be asked four times that surely beheading someone is worse than showing children a cartoon.
Yeah,
four
I remember
times.
That. Did in the end concede it was.
Okay, you might just have a point.
I know.
I mean,
I mean, you know, there were those as well who were trying to make out that this teacher was in some way doing something racist, right? When in fact it became clear from his Muslim neighbour, actually, that he's got very good contacts in the community. His Muslim neighbour and he are good mates. He takes them, he gives them Eid cards and all that sort of thing. You know, it's not as if he's some kind of closet racist who's trying to drum up
something. You know, it's trying to drag this country into some sort of medieval hellhole that it's just...
But also, they're trying to cancel him. That's what they're trying to do.
They're trying to cancel him, but also...
This guy's life has been ruined.
But it's doing nothing also for the Muslim community of Britain.
No,
because most Muslims in this country don't act like that.
Well, they were interviewing genuine parents of children at the school who have signed a petition asking for this teacher to be reinstated.
Well, that's the other thing that this headmaster has done. He sent all the other kids home. So effectively, all the people who thought their kids were going back to school, they've now gone home again, and they're not going back to the school until after the Easter holidays.
Yeah, he has effectively gone along with...
Basically shut it down.
He's gone along with the baying mob outside and cancelled this poor teacher. And this poor teacher, it's not just the fact that he's lost his job. He won't ever be going back to Batley Grammar.
No, he can't. He's had to move out of his house.
He'll never be going back to his house. And his life is ruined. His life—it's not just his job. His life is ruined. He'll be on a fatwa for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he will.
He will indeed.
And that headmaster has gone along with it.
And here's
outrageous.
Another question for you, right? How is it that these guys can now demonstrate? I think it's about 5 days in a row. At what would normally be considered an illegal gathering.
Well,
because we're in the midst of COVID, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, how is that possible? How is it that the West Yorkshire Police, who have not exactly covered themselves in glory in the past, don't seem to think that there's a problem?
A group of people very closely together, only wearing masks you suspect to hide their identity, shouting.
Right.
I mean, breaking every rule in the book. And
I mean,
the
I'm not one of
there.
Those people that has a go at people for breaking COVID rules, but it does seem a bit unusual aren't breaking it up.
It's one law for peaceful women on Clapham Common.
Yeah.
And it's another law for a group of men, and it looked more like a lynch mob to me.
Well, they're also
parents.
Making threats, a lot of them, as well.
Yeah, right? Shouting.
Yeah. Who's your first plank then?
I quite like that one, actually. Yeah, I'm going to agree with Kevin. Oh
yeah,
my God,
well, you can vote for that one to be the winner later if you wish.
Twice in one show, Kev. Right, okay, who shall I go for first? It's spoilt for choices.
Yes.
Right, I'm going to go for a woman, and I'm sorry, girls, I hate nominating women.
Hang on a second. Was that all of mine then?
Yes.
Did he just interrupt
me? You just butted in with somebody I didn't want to be in it?
Hey?
What?
We're going for Gary Kibble, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, Gary Kibble's the plank.
Yeah.
What was all the other stuff about?
Well, we were just augmenting the reason why Gary Kibble was a plank because of all the other stuff that happened around it.
I thought we were going for
you said something about some charity that was organising.
Yes.
Yeah,
but they're
not in it, though, are they?
No.
And you nominated them?
No, she's not.
Dear everybody.
Did you not get the email?
It was Mr. Tibble that Kevin was nominating.
Kibble, whatever. Dibble.
Kevin nominated him and it did it so well.
Are you two feeling all right?
I've forgotten his name.
Maybe you guys should have a vaccination.
It's
for
Kibble.
God's sake, it's
Gary Kibble.
Kibble. Any case,
hope
Kibble.
That helps.
Gary Kibble.
Well, Kevin, you sold it so well, I've forgotten.
Get on with the yours now. Come on.
Okay. I can't deal with your failing mind. Carry on.
And there's only one mind failing around here.
Yeah, and that's Dawn's. Come on, Dawn. What's your first? Can you remember your first nomination?
Well, you can't remember the conversation we had before we started. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, no, I don't know why we ended up talking about the charity and the demonstrators.
Because it's the same story.
Well, basically, because Mike and I's points were more interesting than yours.
No, you wanted to nominate that lot out.
No.
I got in there first.
No.
No,
you missed the conversation where
get
we said
yourself,
I'm not,
Ken.
We're I'm not going with the kibble. Conversation.
Well, this is not very interesting radio or television. So shut up
and
let's hear what you've got to say, Dawn.
Okay,
Jesus
Dawn.
Christ, these two have been together too long. We have to break up the band and bring in two other people.
Right. Okay. Any case, I'm going to nominate. Sorry, guys. A woman, and this one is Jennifer Arcuri.
Oh yes.
She is a 36-year-old businesswoman.
Yeah.
Who
had great business.
36. She's 56 if she's a day.
Who had, that's pretty sexist. Who had a what? 4-year...
She's lying about her age. Why is that sexist?
Yeah, why?
Who had, shut up, you don't encourage him. Who had a 4-year affair, it's finally revealed, shock horror, with Boris Johnson.
This is the same woman who said she didn't have a 4-year affair before, but now she's saying she did.
Yes.
Right,
and
okay.
she's obviously being a shy and retiring feminist type. She's taken 4 days in the Daily Mirror newspaper to give us all the glory.
I can't wait for tomorrow's paper.
All the glory details.
Again?
I now know what it's like in every cop and spit, quite literally, to have an affair with a bloke that looks like a bag of washing exploded in a haystack.
Yes.
And it's not nice.
Apparently he lost a sock.
I know.
This Where?
Is a, yeah, well,
no,
a good question.
No, Kevin. This
well,
is
just
a,
asking.
This is a man who's
down the back of the sofa, apparently.
Yeah. Oh,
phew.
A man who's trying to run the country who can't even find his own sock after sex.
Yes.
And basically, the sofa was in the marital home just before the wife got home.
Yeah.
And she's pretending to be some sort of like feminist empowering women. And no, basically, you're just a floozy.
Well, I'm afraid so.
A floozy
It's a very grubby story,
well,
I have to say.
Also, I'd say it's the most boring sex scandal in the history of politics.
Yeah.
It's really
it's just,
boring.
It's not. It's a,
Boris Johnson is immune to it. Nobody cares anymore.
I don't think they do. I mean, I think it's probably partly because nobody cares too much about what Boris does.
Exactly right.
Life.
Well, I mean,
he's because everyone knows
well, no
that he's
shocked,
a bit of a womaniser.
No
right?
one's shocked by the fact that he
And
cheats.
Nobody bought her story the last time.
No, absolutely.
When she said, oh, no, we were never intimate. And you go, well, okay then. I don't really care whether
but
you were or not.
But that's a bit like I did not have sexual relations with
really
that
is.
Woman.
Yeah.
But did you hear what she said about their foreplay routine?
No.
No, Kevin.
They read Shakespeare to each other. They sat around reciting Macbeth, and then they got it on the sofa just before Boris's wife.
That's, I mean, also,
what a great story.
I'll tell you what she is doing. She's actually puncturing Boris's reputation because she's actually telling us that he's actually a bit cheesy. He's not a swashbuckling kind of, you know, womanizer.
Yeah.
He's actually a bit lame,
sad. But it's boring, this story, isn't it?
Well, it really is.
Boring.
But any man that turns up with his helmet in his hand and has to borrow £3.50
Say that again.
Drinks.
Good drink.
Not going to be good, is it?
No.
Kevin, his cycling helmet. What did you think I meant?
Okay.
He's got a mind like a sewer.
He has got a mind like a sewer.
Gosh.
But I mean, I have to say, the Mirror alone is the only paper that would have ever published this story. People have been saying to me, why are you not talking about it? Because it's dull.
It's because
boring.
We all know Boris. I just get annoyed because I hate women that have affairs with married men and then are kiss
Sorry,
and
I've
tell.
Just seen a breaking news story. Elon Musk has apparently confirmed that SpaceX Starship SN11
sexy.
Has exploded.
yeah,
it's exploded.
Another one of his rockets.
I hope there's nobody on it.
Smoke.
Anyway, yeah, so, I mean, also, while we're on the subject of Boris, if Kevin doesn't mind, I'm just going to bring something else in about Boris, if that's okay.
And
that is that he's now spent another £2.5 million on this new ridiculous room with two flags in it and three lecterns. I mean, how does that cost £2.5 million?
How much for a room? Cost?
Well, I mean, the flags must have been £1 million each, presumably. The rest of it, that still leaves £500,000 for three lecterns and a bit of paint.
It's just ridiculous.
I know.
If you add that to the fact it's going to cost, or is costing, apparently, £200,000 to redecorate the Prime Minister's flat above number 11, actually.
Yes.
Where do they get these astronomical price tags from?
I know.
It must be that people, you know, sort of contractors going, I've got that idiot Boris Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
Rack up the bill.
But it's like the old stories about the Ministry of Defence, isn't it? You know, you've got to buy a couple of toilet seats. How much are they? £55. Yeah, right, okay, then. We'll have 1,000. Then you go, okay, then. Well, we've got to kit out the Royal Navy, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, a couple of hammers. Yeah, they're coming at 120 apiece. And they just pay it.
I would like that job. I mean, obviously, we've spent huge amounts of money on our studio, though, as
yes,
well,
we
haven't
have.
We? I mean, no expense.
Well, funnily enough, somebody did say this morning, why does he not just stand in front of a green screen and he can put any kind of background behind him that he wants, which would include mood backgrounds, mood so like if he's going to come on and be kind of downbeat, he could have a sort of a moody, you know, dark sky behind him, or he can just change it if he's got something good to say and he's all upbeat, and he could have, like, you know, the Teletubbies behind him.
You've got an announcement about holidays, it's the palm trees in the background.
Yeah, and then you'd also, you'd always have the opportunity to hack into it and put Jennifer Arcuri's face behind him.
That would be perfect, wouldn't he, various brainless blonde flinzes?
I'll tell you what's funny, though.
Only you can say that.
What's funny about the Mirror and Jennifer Arcuri is they've obviously spent a few...
How much do you reckon they've paid for that?
Well, you and I were discussing this earlier, and I think, on reflection, you're probably nearer the mark. I was thinking 50, but then again, 50,000.
I don't think they've got that kind of money.
Then again, no one else would want
it. No, I reckon more like 15, 1.5.
Yeah. I don't think so.
But the interesting thing about it is that the Mirror, of course, think that they've really sort of dealt a hammer blow to the Tory Prime Minister's reputation.
The man with
no
morals.
Nobody gives a damn.
He's got no morals.
All these lefties around Boris, they suddenly become all sort of Victorian.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't even know how many children he's got. That's a disgrace.
They didn't mind.
Nobody cares.
They didn't mind how many marriages and women that Jeremy Corbyn had.
Oh, he's got a few, hasn't he?
He's got quite a few, yeah.
I don't care how many kids Boris Johnson's got. It's a matter of mild interest, but if he doesn't want to tell us, I don't care.
It's not anybody's business, really.
Boris Johnson lies, shock.
Yeah, I know. Well, like all politicians, shock.
But he is sort of, he has a bit of a rep around women. He does not have a good track record. Jennifer Arcuri.
Jennifer Jacuzzi's a much better name, by the way.
The Jacuzzi story doesn't work.
She had a pole, didn't she?
She did have a pole.
She had a pole, yeah. She had a pole dancing pole.
That's always a bit interesting, that. If you meet a woman who has a pole in her room, I mean, what do you think's going on there? I mean, you really run 100 miles in the opposite direction, wouldn't you?
Obviously not.
No, obviously not.
Well, not in Boris's case. He'd already parked
Boris
his bike,
in there.
As they say.
He went running in there with his helmet in his hand. He couldn't wait for it. Yeah.
You had to hang it up somewhere. Yeah. Right, I'm going to go with China as my first...
China.
As Donald Trump would say, as my first nominee, because China seems to think that people like Ian Duncan Smith, Tom Tugendhat, Tory MP, Neil O'Brien, Tim Loughton, all MPs, are going to be somehow troubled by the fact that they've now had sanctions issued against them, which means that, one, they can't go to China. Great. I'm concerned that I have not been banned by China because I want to be banned by China. I don't want to go to China. I've got no interest in going to China. I've got no interest in buying anything from China. And I just think that it's a ludicrous thing that they've done. And the reason they've done it is because these people have apparently been spreading terrible propaganda about the Muslim Uyghur people who they've been torturing and locking up in camps. But they say, no, we haven't done that. That's not true.
Yeah, you're not very good when it comes to human rights, are you? Yes, we are.
Talk about Boris Johnson telling lies. I mean, the entire Chinese government rests on an absolute tissue of lies, you know?
But do you think, Mike, that this wasn't at all painful to the recipients of this Chinese fatwa? But in fact, it apparently was, because Ian Duncan Smith has a holiday home in Wuhan and he won't be able to go there anymore.
There you go. I mean, they do say they've frozen all their assets in China. Well,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
What assets are they?
China.
Yeah. Who's got assets in China?
No. Yeah.
Exactly.
I must say, when we first started covering the whole Wuhan crisis, I was astonished to find out that there were actually quite a few expat Brits living in Wuhan. Mm. We used to talk to one guy who was an engineer of some kind who was working out there. I'd never even heard of Wuhan until this time last year.
Well, funny enough, some of them were medical experts who were working at the laboratory that's supposed to be responsible for forming the coronavirus in the first place.
It is a huge city, isn't it?
Yes. Here's what the Chinese charge d'affaires said this. China was not the first to shoot, nor will it be passive to or submissive to threats from the outside. Today's world is not the world of 140 years ago. So they're jumping on the old anti-British Empire bandwagon now.
Bloody
as well.
Hell.
The Chinese people will not be bullied. What, by Ian Duncan Smith? I mean, really? I mean, nobody's going to be bullied by Ian Duncan Smith. I quite like the guy. We will not stir up trouble, but if others do, we are not afraid. What are they talking about?
Oh, so it's really bad optics.
Yeah.
It's just showing themselves to be really riled.
Yeah. I mean, why should they care whether Tom Tugendhat, a rather little-known MP in this country... if you walked out into the street and said, do you know who Tom Tugendhat is? People wouldn't know.
And the Chinese people go, oh, whatever.
If you showed his picture in China, you think anyone would know who he was?
No.
Unbelievable. So that's my first nomination.
However, I do have a claim to fame.
Do you?
I've been thrown out of China.
Have you?
I can't go back, I don't think.
Why? What did you do?
I was still am, evidently.
No,
That's quite funny, though.
It isn't. It's not
what
funny.
What crime did you commit there, then?
I was, a journalist working out there.
And what were you doing in China?
I was working. And it was...
doing what?
Daily Star Special Investigation.
I worked on
all
the...
All those Chinese dispatches that the Daily Star was so famous for.
I worked on The Sun at the time.
I see.
Again.
And
that's a great job, actually, getting sent to China for The Sun.
It was.
That'd
it
be
was
amazing.
Yeah, it was a Sun and a magazine I was out there for, basically. And it was literally unfortunate in timing because it coincided with the second anniversary of Tiananmen Square.
Oh, dear.
And they were fine with me out there for a while. I was legally working. They knew that I was a journalist.
Did they have somebody following you around?
Yes. Mm. Uh-huh. And then they confiscated my passport. Then they confiscated all the money and they moved me into a government-run hotel, which was basically...
The Beijing Hilton.
It was a prison, Mike. They actually...
Never told this story before.
No,
this is a great story.
Fascinating, isn't it? You went into your hotel room at night and they locked the door.
Oh, blimey.
Mm-hmm. And there was a vent, like a loft hatch in the ceiling above my bed.
Is that how you managed to escape?
I was thrown out, literally thrown out. And this loft hatch, I was convinced would move in the night. And one day I got back to the hotel room and there were footprints on the bed directly underneath this loft hatch. And then
really?
I had to sleep in there.
Blimey.
It was absolutely, frankly, scary. And then basically the very next day they are asked if I would like to be on the first plane back to Hong Kong.
Yes, please.
Funny enough, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, I say that I've not had any dealings, I don't think, with China, but a friend of mine went to China and said they couldn't get the thought police there because they thought it was banned. So I think
there
the thought police might be banned
We've all
in
got
China.
Claims to fame.
So there we go.
I had this idea for a fashion spread when I was on newspapers to how to be a well dressed Chinese dissident.
Right.
And the headline would be "Don't be a Tiananmen Square."
Very good.
But it never got taken.
Never got published. Strange that.
No, yeah.
Now let's hear your second plank of the week.
Okay, I'm going to go for the captain of the Ever Given.
Oh yes.
Who cannot steer his vast vessel through a straight canal.
I love Boris
known
and Jennifer.
As the Suez Canal.
I mean, he's only got to do one thing. Really,
I know.
Keep it straight.
He's just got to go straight. Man.
Come on. Don't turn it. Don't go left a bit.
Yes, the Suez Canal is not known for its twists and turns. It's not a difficult navigation task.
Yeah, it's a canal.
But instead he got it jammed into the Suez Canal. Turns out that he could have been speeding. He was going too fast,
really?
Apparently. Yeah. And they're blaming the wind. And, of course, this cost...
Hold on. This boat... It's the same height as the Shard building in London.
Yeah.
How it's 400 metres long, isn't
it? Yeah. So if you stood it next to the Shard, it would be bigger, taller. So how do you speed in that?
That's lengthwise, it's taller.
Yeah, how did that... How
I don't
did
think
that,
it's taller
it's
than
higher
the Shard.
Than
but, you know, on its...
No, if you stood it on its...
You mean if you lay the Shard down?
Yeah.
That's what you mean.
Yeah,
but it's a vast vessel.
Yes.
Big.
Yeah.
So how can it speed and be driven, you know...
Well,
there's
a very low speed limit there. I think it's about 10 kilometres an hour or something, and he was going too fast, they say. But, of course, this caused the biggest shipping traffic jam in the history of marine life.
Yes.
And it was costing £7 billion a day
and by an
to the world economy.
By an interesting coincidence, I think it was on its way to China, wasn't it?
I think it was coming from China.
From China to Rotterdam.
Right.
And it's a Japanese-owned boat with a Indian crew.
Yeah.
You and I, Mike, before we started recording this excellent edition of Plank of the Week, were desperately... So this is another slight plank, is the press of the world.
Yes.
Desperately trying to find the name of this bungling captain, this useless skipper.
Right.
And nowhere can you find...
The only reference to the captain I could find was that the captain was slightly injured in the impact, right?
Yeah.
But... It doesn't say how badly, but I mean, maybe because we've now got this kind of very supine press, as Kevin says, in the world, maybe we've been asked not to name him because of some kind of reprisal or something. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
but his name is
bring
nowhere.
The headmaster of Batley Grammar School,
or get that charity group to out. Come on, give us his
charity.
Name. But it does seem bizarre, doesn't it, that you can't find his name anywhere? Because in the old days, you'd have the name. You'd have the old who, what, where, when.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And we don't have it. And so I can only assume that they haven't given it out.
I mean, the Sun would have a picture of it. Is this the worst sailor
ever? Yeah, the worst sea captain in history.
Do you remember
Captain Calamity?
Well, do you remember Captain Hazelwood? who was the guy responsible for ditching the old Exxon Valdez up in the northwest frontier, up near Seattle, and been creating one of the world's biggest crude oil spills because he was drinking on the bridge. And he, for a long time, Captain Hazelwood became the kind of poster boy for anyone who did anything when they were drunk. Mm. And he was ridiculed, I think, and he probably had to give up being a skipper.
To the captain of that boat, we have to say, ever given any thought to a new career?
Very good.
So he's definitely worth a plank of the week.
Very good. You're really on form today with the old puns.
It did. Well, I didn't know.
Ever given. Very good. I like that. I'm sorry, I'm allowed to say that, aren't I?
Yeah. But it did give us the funniest picture of the week as well. Tiny little crane next to it. I know it wasn't trying to push it off, but it was funny, wasn't it?
But that was, you know, I was surprised they managed to do it as quickly as they did.
Yeah.
But it's back up and running now.
And now everything's flowing smoothly through the Suez Canal. Mm. Very good. Mm. Well done.
My mum's been through there.
Has she?
Mm.
Okay.
On one of those hideous cruise liner things that people
don't
enjoy.
Don't fancy that.
No.
Don't fancy it.
She said it was very impressive.
I'm sure.
That far away from the edge.
They really are squeezed
in. Yeah, literally, yeah.
By inches, but
maybe they need to widen it a bit.
Doesn't know what he's doing.
So if somebody crashes into the side, they can get round it.
Yeah,
right? There's an idea. I could be an engineer.
Yeah,
you know,
the Suez Canal.
Will you make the Suez Canal a bit wider, guys?
Yeah,
you know,
come on. The Suez Canal. Don't try and overtake.
Maybe it was like the little digger was trying to do that, make it just a little bit wider.
Yeah. So who's your second one then?
Second one. Oh God, I've got another woman here.
Good.
Yeah. This is as the news breaks today that the Clapham Common Police, who are policing the Sarah Everard memorial gathering.
Vigil.
It wasn't a protest, vigil, thank you very
much. Well, they called it a vigil for a while.
Anyway, so the Clapham Common Police have come out, they've marked their own homework and they didn't do anything wrong. No shock. But this, I'm nominating for the plank this week, the lovely Patsy Stevenson.
Is this the redhead?
She's a gorgeous young woman, the redhead.
Very, very distinctive hair.
Very distinctive, gorgeous young woman. She was pictured having being arrested and looking at the camera directly with four coppers nearly on her. Shocking. It was a great picture. It was a shocking picture. And as a woman, I thought, oh my God, you know, those big burly coppers kneeling on that poor young woman. What on earth is going on? Then it turns out that young Miss
Stevenson
is actually not exactly as pure as a driven slush.
No.
She's an actress. Mm. She's an agitator. Yeah. And she's written this week...
Didn't I see her in lots of hit TV shows? Oh, no, I didn't, did I?
No.
No.
She's not a very successful actress.
A bit like Meghan Markle. Could be related.
Well, at least she's been in something.
But this week, she's fine. I mean, you know, look, women had a right to be there. It was a very emotional thing. And the whole Sarah Everard thing is just incredibly sad. However,
they weren't socially distancing, though, were they?
Well, no, they weren't, but they were arrested for it.
Well, the police constabulary inquiry, inspectorate inquiry, said that they were in absolutely the right, the police, because they were in fear of COVID spreading by the actions of the people who were at the vigil.
It just doesn't spread in Yorkshire, then, though,
no.
does it?
No,
obviously.
You can't get it up
there. Schools in Yorkshire.
No, it's fine. You can't get it there.
Actually, would you, if you were COVID, though? Would you want to go there?
No.
No.
Okay. Not really.
Any case, Patsy Stevenson has detracted from the whole Sarah Everard vigil and the awful story by making it all about her.
How surprising is that?
This week she has written a very emotive piece for the Independent newspaper.
What about?
About her.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. What did she say in it?
Well, when I think about the vigil on Clapham Common, remember Sarah Everard, but that's enough about her, the scene plays out in slow motion. The lights from the cameras were so powerful.
The lights from the cameras.
Striking my eyes in the few seconds while I lay on the floor, the unrest and the anger, the stirring of women's voices.
For God's sake.
I know. Yeah, so my uncle,
she's obviously not a writer.
My uncle had passed away just a few weeks before,
and I found a badge
for women's rights among his belongings. This fed a flame inside me that had always been there. As it turned out, that flame was about to become a fire.
Really?
Oh, God. Could we stop reading this, please?
that's enough of that.
But it's not all about her.
No,
this is not. No.
Well, it wouldn't be surprising.
This goes on for you know.
Well, the Independent, you know, and that's probably why they're not very many people buy it. Here's the thing. She is an actress.
Yeah.
She's complaining about lights.
Mm-hmm.
when you're an actress, don't they shine lights on you?
Yeah.
And take pictures of
you? Well, I don't know. I don't think she's quite that good an actress yet.
Oh, I see.
Yet.
Right. Only in public
yeah.
playhouses.
But evidently she's
also,
been...
it wouldn't surprise me to find out that the person that took the picture of her, because it was such a good picture,
it was very,
knew
very...
that that was going to be a picture that they could take.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and get myself arrested. I'm going to make sure they throw me on the ground. Make sure you get the picture.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be cynical, but you know.
I wasn't cynical. Initially, I thought, oh my God, that's a shocking image, that poor woman. But the more that it's gone on, and then writing a piece like this, completely distracting from what we should be thinking and feeling about Sarah Everard, everything that went on that night, and the appalling case we still
have
to come.
But this is it's not just the me generation, it's the me generation now, isn't it? Well, and I mean, she will say, no doubt, that she's raising the issue. And that's what she's doing in The Independent.
Well,
she's not just writing about herself.
Yeah, no, this is not at all writing about herself. I've been called terrier-like. I've been labelled as bossy or loud. Well, I am loud, and
good.
I will continue to be loud.
Great, congratulations.
Like the suffragettes.
Yeah. But you're bossy as well.
Well, she hasn't thrown herself under any horses yet, has she?
No, she threw herself under four burly coppers.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. It's true, though, isn't it? You know, everybody knows that they're totally...
I will not be silenced.
They've got the right to protest. Well, what happened... didn't yesterday, Monday, suddenly we were allowed to meet five other people as long as we socially distance.
Yes.
That's the amount we're allowed to gather
right
as of yesterday.
Yeah.
This was even before that. So why are you allowed to do that? Because I think it might be against the coronavirus.
Well, it is.
No, I'm not saying that I love the coronavirus laws, but that vigil was against the law.
Of course it was. Absolutely right.
It was just sad that it's been taken away from what we should all be thinking.
Yeah, exactly. But it was against the law. You know, sad.
And also the people, let's not forget, the people organising it said they weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
So actually they were consulting the police and doing what the police asked them to do. And everybody else turned up anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
So it wasn't anything to do with Sarah Everard at all.
Well,
it was to do with a punch-up with the police. Anyway, we were talking, and you mentioned Meghan Markle there, so I'm just going to
say... I know, I'm sorry.
For the record...
I don't think anyone noticed.
No, I did. But for the record, just to say, well, as usual, we will be carrying them over. And I just want to mention a couple of things that they've done this week. Which is going to refer, I think, to one of the things you're going to talk about. They managed to get somebody else fired, which is good, over in America.
Marvellous. It's
great,
isn't
well
it?
Done, yeah, Meghan. You know, the wrecking ball continues. And also, good old Hazza has now got two jobs. One as Chief Impact Officer, which rather unfortunately, people are abbreviating to Chimpo, Chief Impact Officer. That was in the Sunday Times before anybody starts giving me a hard time. I'm not going to use that. But... he's getting paid, we think, in excess of £1 million a year, basically to advise people on their mental health, for which he has no qualification other than saying that he suffers from mental health issues.
He was so good with mental health that he let his poor wife, bless her, St. Meghan of Woke, suffer appallingly over here with her own mental health.
He didn't know what to do about it.
Didn't know what to do.
No.
So
and also, he's also now going to be on the foundation of a fake news organisation, which is going to root out fake news, like... when they lied about getting married 3 days before.
Like the whole Oprah interview, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
That could be his first project. Anyway, so they're carrying over. My second nomination, following hot on the heels of last week when Kevin nominated Jed Mercurio, I'm actually going to nominate Line of Duty, the show, because, like you, I'm not as impressed with it as I thought I would be. And I watched the second one this week.
It's just average.
And it's not even average now. It's kind of, it's almost like they're trying to deliberately confuse everyone so that you don't really know what's going on. You don't know who's on whose side. You don't know. Now, they will say this is, you know, dramatic content. But the thing that really got me about it this week was that suddenly Jimmy Savile's name got introduced into it. Now, you spoke about Jed Mercurio and how he's very woke and how he's very sort of right on last week. But here's the thing. Jimmy Savile was involved, they say, with a lot of, you know, top-level police officers. But they're now saying that on a show which is a fictional show, as if it was a fact. Right. Now, I'm sure that there are lots of things that we don't know about Jimmy Savile and lots of things that we do know. But they then started introducing Daniel Morgan's name into it, you know, who's another real-life character from police stories of the past. And I just think that's quite a dangerous place to go. If you're a crime drama, but you're supposed to be fictional, what the hell are you doing bringing in those kind of names?
Well, you know that. You know, we discussed last week, which is why I nominated him for Plank of the Week, Jed Mercurio's first episode of this Series 6. You know, it was just a tedious acronym-packed disaster.
Yeah.
And guess what? I mean, they got a great audience last week with 9.5 million or something. Guess
how was it this week?
700,000 hemorrhaged.
Oh, really?
Away,
that's
gone.
Quite a lot, isn't it?
That's a big falling
almost,
off.
That's almost a 10%
So what
level,
do we call it now? Decline of duty is going
very
down.
Very good. He's on form today, isn't he? Hey?
Well, it is. It is. I've written a few headlines. But yeah, I mean, it's just, and people have been primed mostly by the BBC hype department. This is the greatest thing ever on telly.
Yeah.
And they're refusing to, they're watching it, and I know what's going on. They go, this isn't very good. And then they go, brilliant,
right.
Compelling.
Yes.
But it's not.
But it's a bit like people. Have you ever read Captain Corelli's Mandolin? Right? Everybody raved on about what a great book that was, right? I started reading
tried.
It. I literally couldn't get through it.
And you tried Wolf Hall?
No way.
Oh my God, that is
that's
awful.
The, what, the book or the show?
The book.
Oh, right.
The book's unreadable.
Well, the show was impenetrable because it was all shot in the dark.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone was whispering. Yeah. You're kind of going, what's that? look, I can't see anyone and I can't hear you.
Oi, Cromwell.
Speak up, put some bloody lights on.
Oi, Cromwell, speak up.
Come on, mate. God's sake, But, you know, but people have this thing where they don't want to admit that they don't get something. So they all go, oh, yes, Chris, great.
Yeah, that's right.
It's fantastic.
When you go to a Shakespeare, one of the comedies, and the Midsummer Night's Dream or something, all these pretentious idiots in the audience start going, it's not funny.
His version of Othello, absolutely brilliant.
It's just Emperor's New Clothes, isn't
it's
it?
It's like the opera as well. Yeah. People go to the opera. I hate the opera. Right?
I've tried
the only thing
once.
I like about the opera is the restaurant at the top of the opera house in Covent Garden, which is very good. And in the summer, you can sit outside, lovely. But sit through 4 hours of an opera.
That's terrible. I'll tell you what is worth it, if you must. Even though it's rubbish, ballet really boring.
I hate ballet.
Really boring, but you
ballet.
Get lots and lots of break intervals because the dancers get knackered.
Yeah.
So you can all go. So
you, do you know
get
what
about
I
10
really hate about the ballet? I once went to see the Bolshoi, right, at the Lincoln Center in New York.
Oh wow!
Because they were in town, and that was my treat.
It was
a
thing, yeah.
So I went with my sister and her then boyfriend and my then wife, and it was like, why can I hear all that? That's what.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
It was like, I said, well, why don't they play the music louder?
Tap dancing.
It's like tap dancing. So me and my sister's bloke went off at lunchtime, halftime, and went to the pub. Didn't watch the second half.
I think
we paid quite a lot of money for it as well.
Yeah. I don't like ballet, but you do get
expensive.
Lots of intervals. You can get drunk at a ballet.
Well, it's the only way to get through. Well, we got drunk and didn't come back. That was the thing we did.
Excuse me. Compared to some things, let me think. Golf, ballet.
Why bring golf
brilliant.
Into it?
What's that got to do with
golf
it?
Is a very healthy endeavour played by many men and many women.
No, it's not. It's an excuse for blokes to go and dress badly.
What about
not
women?
True.
Huh?
What about women?
Well, we're not allowed to play most of the time, aren't we?
Well, no, that's not
rules
the
is
case,
rules.
Actually,
you can
not.
Only play no. in the middle of the night, and provided you're accompanied
well,
by a parent.
You're implying that it's a bloke sport.
Well, yeah, because it's dull and you dress badly.
But it's not a bloke sport, though.
But it is.
No,
it
it's not.
It is.
There are female professional golfers.
Have you never heard of the women's tour? On both sides
no,
of the
Atlantic.
No, because
I'm too busy watching
it's
ballet.
Extremely lucrative.
Yeah. I mean, who knew that she was into ballet and not golf?
I like ballet.
Yeah, that tennis.
Ballet is
yeah,
great.
That tennis, that's got women in it as well.
Well, you say
you're
that.
Well, are you sure about
you're
that?
Dismissing though? All sports because only blokes play them.
No, yeah. Most blokes play golf more
do
than
do you know
women,
what I always say at this juncture is that you've only got a view of some golf, but you haven't got a view of is all golf. Because in Scotland, for example, golf is a very working class sport. Everybody plays it because it's their
and
national
sport. And women play
sport.
It all over the world.
It's their
very
national
enthusiastic.
Sport.
It's not true to say
and
it's a
man's
sport.
And millions of people enjoy
you don't understand
ballet.
Although I can tell you a story about Pelham Country Club, which I used to be a member of in America, and a bloke there who was a member of the club got divorced, right? And he brought his new wife to the club, and his old wife turned up one day, and they said, what are you doing here? And she went, well, I've come to, you know, lie by the pool and have some lunch. They went, no, sorry. You're not married to him anymore. He wouldn't let her in.
That's the way it
used to be. Anyway, Your third.
In some places.
Your third plank, Kevin.
Right, okay, once Dawn. Dawn's finished being sexist about golf. Let's move on to my third nomination, which is Chief Constable Simon Bailey. He is the National Police Chief's Council Child Protection Lead. That's what he's called. So he's very involved in the reaction to the rape culture scandal, largely at private schools, but also some state schools as well. Now, and he's encouraging parents who believe that their kids are victims of rape or sexual abuse to come forward, but he's also encouraging parents to shop their kids to the police, which is, you know, it's just not going to happen, is it? But this is what, you know, I'm all for the police.
Well, also, how do you know? I mean, if you're a parent, as I am, you're clearly not going to shop your teenage son for something that you don't know that he's done.
And the schools have been reluctant to do it as well. I mean, what slightly worries me about this, I mean, we're being told this is a ticking time bomb, massive scandal. And, you know, I have no knowledge at all of what it is. But and it could be the tip of a terrible iceberg.
Yeah.
But there's no names involved so far. Mm. This is just 7,000 people putting stories
on. It's an anonymous website, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want.
So people say, oh, it's not the time, you know, we don't have to name names. Well, I think you do, actually. Mm. But anyway, this is what... So I'm all for the police being proactive about this. I'm not that keen on the idea of schools shopping their pupils to the police, or parents shopping their pupils to their kids to the police. I don't think that necessarily is a healthy thing.
Well, it depends on what evidence there is.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, which brings me to my point. Yeah. This is why Chief Constable Simon Bailey is one massive great plank. This is what he said. If parents are aware that their son or their daughter has been a victim of abuse, then please come forward and report the abuse. Their account will be believed, and we will deal with it appropriately. When are these coppers going to learn? They cannot say this. You cannot say your account will be believed. It isn't your job as a copper to automatically believe people.
No.
It isn't your job as a copper to turn the police force into an institutionally gullible pile of morons who accept anything anyone tells them just because they're a victim. What Mr. Bailey ought to realise is it is a policeman's job to be automatically sceptical of anything they are told. Anything from anyone. You will be believed, must be eradicated from the police vocabulary. In fact, they were told this after Operation Midland, the ludicrous VIP pedo ring scandal that ruined so many lives. They were told this, you will be believed, which is what they did to Carl Beach.
Mm.
They came in, told them fanciful stories, and they had a policy to believe, and therefore lives were ruined, tens of millions of pounds were wasted, coppers... careers were ruined on the back of this ludicrous policy, you will be believed. Mm. So Simon Bailey, for saying that everyone who reports a school rape will be relieved,
I mean, this is
a massive plank.
But the problem is, for them, they're doing that because they believe that some people don't come forward because they don't think
they're
going to be believed.
But it's not good enough.
No, I know that, but they're just not very clever at sort of articulating
I think the problem with this, what he's said, is how he's articulated, I think you're right, and that we do have a problem being serious, and we do have a problem.
Well, do we? We do have a problem
with women in this country who feel like they can't report sexual assaults or rape because they will not be taken seriously. And I think it is important that we make it clear that if you have...
Well, but we can't tell them they will be believed.
Well, maybe they should say...
You have to believe somebody initially, Kevin.
No, hang on. As you would expect,
you will be taken seriously, not you will be believed. What if they're lying?
Well, that is for the investigation to prove.
Well, yeah, but look, you can't start an investigation telling the alleged victim they will be believed. That's ludicrous.
Yeah, but you have to say... No, it's not.
It is,
ludicrous.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
Because women will not come forward because they don't think they will be believed.
Suppose they're lying.
But they might be lying, but that's what the
you will be believed would be a better phrase.
Yes.
I think he's right about that.
What do you mean, you will be believed?
Sorry, you will be taken seriously.
Taken seriously, it's fine. As I said, there's a problem in the way this was articulated.
It's a much better thing to say.
We have to expunge. Coppers have got to stop saying you will be believed. It isn't their job. They mustn't believe anything anyone until they've checked it out.
You have to take people seriously when they're making accusation of sexual assault and rape.
Women need
to come forward, and they shouldn't be questioned on what they're wearing, where they were going, who they were with, their sexual history. Oh, you've got topless pictures of yourself on your mobile phone.
Yeah, but that's not covered by You Will Be Believed either.
No, it's not.
So there's no point saying it.
The articulation in that was wrong, but women do need to come forward.
I still think he's a plank. It's a massive plank,
and it's not just girls, by the way.
We're talking about boys as well. Of course, rape
victims aren't always women.
But when we're also victimised,
and also alleged rape victims lie as well.
Of course, look,
so
we're not
you
saying
you will be believed is bizarre.
You will
and
be
absurd.
Taken seriously, but this is not just about victimising women, because there's a school in Australia in Melbourne, Brower College in Warrnambool.
It's a hard one to say that.
Yeah, it's a very hard one to say. These are boys as young as 12 were asked to stand up in assembly and apologise to their classmates, their female classmates, for men being guilty of rape.
Men generally.
Absolutely.
Well, this is it. I mean, there is now this culture where, you know, if you're a man, you won't be believed. Is the other inference of that, or if you are the alleged assailant, you will not be believed. Because you've been accused of something, therefore, and they did a lot of this with domestic violence disputes as well.
Yeah, of course.
Where they believe the person.
Well, he said, she said.
Yeah, and unfortunately, whether you like it or not, an awful lot of rape cases come down to
he said, she said.
He said, and then she said, and then this happened, and sadly, that's the trouble.
You know, this yearning for much better statistics in terms of successful convictions of rape. Is just pie in the sky. Mm. The problem is that defence, rape, really sadly and tragically, but it is the case, is the easiest offence to defend. Mm. Because in the end, you can establish reasonable doubt. He said that, she said that, how do you know which one is telling
the truth?
And also, in the end, if you are, as a police officer, first asking the questions, and you get called into the dock to give your evidence, and the clever barrister says, but you told my client that you believed her. Now you're saying something else. So it slightly can damage the case as well, because you're basically saying, well, you've already said you believe her before she's told you what happened.
That's why they do it. And after the Operation Midland debacle, there was an official public inquiry into that. And the police were told to stop. They're ordered by this inquiry, among their findings, you must stop telling people they will be believed. And you must also stop referring to alleged rape victims as rape victims.
Yes.
You can't do that, because once you start saying you refer to the plaintiff, as it were, as the victim, then it's as if they are the victim. Now, at that stage, they're just the alleged victim. They were told, the cops, by the Operation Middle Inquiry, you must stop telling people they were
victims. But, I mean, in the end as well,
you must stop calling them victims. And they haven't. Yeah. They haven't. They refused.
The problem, though, as well, is that you're kind of diminishing the real cases by saying you believe absolutely everyone that says that something has happened to them.
Look,
and that's the other thing.
I agree,
I think we've spent enough time on this.
The language was wrong, but the
But it's the language. It's their official language. It's not just that.
But that's why
can we not get on about this? Because that's enough of that.
What?
That conversation. We've done it for too long now. We're running out of time, you know. We have got a time limit here. So can we have your third plank, please?
Oh, my God, you're being so assertive, Mike.
You're holding yourself.
Come on, get on with it. Let's go.
Not like a woman to talk too much, is it, gents? Any case, Mike.
Oh, God, you've been so sexist today.
Shut up!
Next thing you'd be telling me, women play golf.
Why would we? We have better things to do with our time.
They do play golf.
Would you get on with it, you two, and stop bickering? Christ.
Yes, Dad.
Come
on. In any case, my third nomination is CBS.
Yes.
The American TV broadcaster who this week let go or sacked or she walked out. Who knows what the truth is? Sharon Osbourne, because Sharon Osbourne was on her morning show, which is a bit like Loose Women in America. Yeah. Imagine the horrors of that. It's
only
called
worse.
The Talk.
The Talk. Thank you very much, Kevin. God, you do have a use. The Talk. So, Sharon was on there with her female co-host, who happens to be black, and Sharon was defending Piers Morgan, who over the whole Meghan Markle, she's always around, isn't she? Interview with Oprah, and for this reason, Sharon has been accused of racism herself and has had to leave the show.
But do you know what's annoying? The most annoying thing about this is that she was made to apologise right? Because after she defended Peters, they then all kind of had a collective hissy fit and brought her back onto the set the next day to say to her that you don't understand that you are unconsciously racist because you're friends with somebody who's racist. So not only did they accuse Piers of being racist, which he blatantly isn't.
There was no point that Piers was racist.
So they made her apologise and she's still gone.
Yeah.
So she shouldn't have apologised, should she?
Because it turned into a witch hunt then. Because everybody she's ever worked with on this particular TV channel then racked their brains to think of something offensive. Sharon Osbourne, who, let's face it,
is quite offensive, isn't she? Being feisty,
I think is the polite way of putting it. You know, and saying, well, she called me this, she called me that. And OK, fine. And so CBS has said, we can no longer work with this woman. Now, the irony is they've employed her for 11 seasons of this show.
It's ridiculous.
These are all historical accusations. Why are they suddenly so important now, I wonder?
But this is what these people now do, isn't it? They go back and find things that could be misconstrued
and then deliberately misconstrue them.
And this awful situation now that anyone who has the temerity to suggest that anything Meghan Markle said in that interview might not be true is a racist.
Yes. Yeah.
It is the shutting down of
sensible
shutting down of sensible discussion.
Yeah.
So Piers saying, I don't believe a word she said, that makes him a racist. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. So basically, if you follow that to the nth degree, then Piers can only take issue with fellow white, straight, middle-aged men.
White people can't discuss racism because we don't understand it.
No.
Well, you know...
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
It's all due respect to every people who are the victims of racism, you know, and it's terrible. Now, they would have a deeper understanding of it than perhaps us, but it really isn't a tricky concept.
No.
I think we can understand racism.
Exactly, yeah. I think that's absolutely right. But yeah, but as I said earlier, with Megxit being just about a year... from now back.
Oh, what a lovely anniversary.
This is like the first anniversary this week. You know, she continues to wreck people's careers with the kind of the reverberation of that bleeding interview.
You know, and on social media, all the people defending her are the sort of like, you know, woke, be kind, be inclusive.
Oh, the be kind people. They're really kind, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who want to not only sort of like you lose your job and cancel culture is far worse than that, but then also send you death threats.
Mm. That's nice, isn't it?
Both Piers Morgan and Sharon, I'm no fan of Sharon Osbourne, by the way, and Sharon Osbourne have had to hire extra security because of the death threats.
I know.
Unbelievable. Piers has a little girl at home with
him. I know. It's absolutely shocking how these people are. You've just thrown your pen down in disgust.
I am disgusted.
So angry.
Well, I'll tell you what,
so CBS.
This last one's going to make you really angry, right? It's your friend and mine, your chief medical officer, Mr. Chris Whitty.
Sir Chris Whitty.
Never as a man deserved a name.
Oh my God. Did you see him this week, though, at the new, brand new sort of, you know, briefing room?
£2.5 million.
The £2.5 million briefing room, right, where he's talking about the old, the wall, right? Now, he seems to have... change his view of the wall. You know what the wall is, don't you? The wall is all the vaccinated people that are going to stop COVID from coming into the country, right? Because the COVID is going to meet the wall. However, this week, he's decided that the wall's got a leak in it, right? And he's calling it a leaky wall. This is not a medical term. He says that there's now a leaky wall, and that's the problem, because there are leaks in the wall which might allow the COVID to come back in. And he says, this guy, the same guy who says it's safe to play football, even golf, right? But football in particular.
Only drugs, of course, yeah.
In particular, yeah, because you don't normally...
I bet Chris Whitty plays golf, actually.
I don't think he does anything in which he enjoys himself. He literally does not have an enjoyable bone in his body. Can you imagine sitting next to this guy on a plane?
I think I think he's a good man. He's just wrong.
I don't think he's a bad guy.
I think he's a good man.
But he's incredibly tedious.
He's doing good.
He's incredibly.
I think he's just wrong.
But he's spent a year terrifying people.
But he's also told people.
But he thinks that's important.
Yeah.
To do. He's committed.
There's
to
ways of
his
getting messages.
But he's
out
also
there,
the same guy who says, "Yeah, it's all right. You go out and play football. You can slide tackle somebody. They can fall on top of you. But what you can't do under any circumstances is go anywhere near anyone outside. You can't hug them.
No.
You can't kiss them."
No.
You can't hold hands.
No.
You can't touch them.
No.
What is wrong with him?
He's a plank.
He is a plank. Mm-hmm. Imagine a picnic, right, with five people. One of them's witty. You're all on your own. It's like sort of some kind of ridiculous scene from, you know, the 40 Thieves, where you're all sitting on your own rug. Mm. Because you can't sit on anybody else's rug, because that's illegal.
You know
What the hell's going on?
You know, that's a ridiculous thing I read during the week, was that, you know, if you're a couple getting married, you're allowed to get married now, evidently. If you're a couple getting married, but you don't live together.
Yeah.
In theory, it's illegal to kiss the bride
yes.
at the ceremony.
So when you get to that bit, presumably the vicar says you may now not kiss the bride.
How did we get there?
Huh?
By the way, what was this? So isn't the new relaxation of the rules is you no longer need exceptional reasons to get married. So
what if she's pregnant?
What was it before?
Is that an exceptional reason?
Yeah, you know, you now have to know the person you're going to get married to or something like that. You have to have met
them
before.
And also, did they not say that the father of the bride has to walk 2 metres behind?
Yeah.
If he's given her
you
away.
You only have 6 people there,
but
right?
But genuinely, there are people out there, right, who ask about what the rules are.
I know.
You know, and some of these journalists.
Oh, don't get me started on those press conferences.
Do you think I might be able to go and meet my long-lost brother who lives in Wales? No, I'm afraid you can't do that because you can't go to Wales.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. You know, how about you just do it?
I know.
By the way, your favourite subject, Dawn, you've seen this golf club, and half of it goes across the border.
Oh, yeah.
So it's at the Welsh-English border.
Huh.
So the Welsh, because they've got their rules relaxed, the Welsh players can play all 18 holes,
right.
But the English can't.
So there's
this divided.
Do you remember there was a pub right on the border somewhere near Shropshire where the car park was in England and the rest of the pubs in Wales, and when they shut the pub in Wales you could only go in the car park but they couldn't bring you a drink.
It's just insane. How do we end up here?
This is just bonkers, isn't it?
How did we end up here?
It's terrible, absolutely awful.
Oh.
Well, so that's our 9. So now we've got to get them down to 3.
Blimey.
Who wants to go first?
I can't remember what was what.
No, well, this is all that bickering, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I should make you two the first two planks.
Yeah.
And then we'll give the third one some witty.
Yeah, you win.
It's not about winning. It's about taking part.
Sod that.
Right. So do you want to choose mine? Do you?
Go on, then.
Just to refresh my memory.
Okay, I've got China.
China.
I've got Chris Whitty.
And pen's run out.
Your pen's run out because you threw it down in a fit of pique. God, this
China
is getting out of hand.
Witty.
And line of duty.
Write this down.
Because I'm a journalist, Kevin.
Well, you can't remember.
No. Obviously not.
Don't tell anyone in China.
You said it 3 seconds ago.
China. Witty. Chris Whitty. Line of duty. Look at the state of it. Has anybody got any insulin?
Don't say that.
She needs some insulin.
I'm going to go for Chris Whitty because
Chris Whitty,
he's just such a blank.
You can't go wrong
sorry,
with Chris Whitty. There we go. Thank you very much indeed. Right,
why don't
you tell Kevin what your three are?
Jennifer.
Can you remember them? You need to write them down.
Jennifer Akuri.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Patsy Stevenson, the red-haired bird, and CBS, the news channel in America.
Yeah. Well, we did. I like. They're a really good three, actually. Seriously.
Thank you, Kevin.
CBS, we did the other week, so I'm going to let them off the hook, even though they're a disgrace. The redhead girl from what's her name?
Patsy.
Yeah, exactly.
Patsy,
I mean, yeah. Well, I don't really want to give her any more publicity.
You know, go away. Return to the obscurity for what you were designed.
Nice hair,
please. So definitely for me, the fabulously ludicrous Jennifer Arcuri, the Prime Minister's former.
Is
on the side while he was married. So for the most boring sex scandal.
Yeah, it really is.
So boring.
Yeah.
So boring.
That's funny. Right, so Kevin, you tell me your three.
I went for the headmaster of Batley Grammar School, Gary Kibble, first because of his over hasty and unnecessary apology.
Yes.
Then for the useless and as yet anonymous captain of the Ever Given, ever given any thought to a new career, because you can't get through the straight Suez Canal.
That's
costs us £7 billion a day. So, captain. Captain Calamity there. And finally, Chief Constable Simon Bailey, who used that phrase that should be banned, you will be believed, to people.
Absolutely right. Now, I'm betwixt and between on this one, because I think the Captain of the Ever Given is a definite plank. And it's so.
It's
the big story of the week, isn't
it? And it is funny.
I know
it shouldn't be funny, but
it is
shouldn't funny.
Be, but we came in on Monday, and everyone was kind of going, you know, this is a very serious story. You're kind of Yeah, I know. It's really awful. Absolutely. I mean, luckily nobody got hurt. I think it's going to have to be him. I'm going to say though, we're going to make the Mr. Kibble from Batley Grammar number four.
Yeah,
because I think he's certainly in
there.
He's
in there.
If it wasn't for the captain of this ship, he would be in there.
Yeah.
So that means the top three are Chris Whitty, Jennifer Arcuri, and the captain of the Ever Given. So what are we going to do?
I'd like to go for. I mean, I fancy Jennifer Arcuri.
Yes.
Who said nobody ever?
if you know what. Hang on. That's sexist.
I would go along with that. I would definitely go along with that.
So would I, because that means I win. Not that it's a competition.
No. As long as you don't argue anymore, I don't care what you do.
It was a debate.
It was a terrible argument.
It's a debate. It's a very unseemly argument.
Very unseemly for the sort of high level of intellectual
rigour
that
we
expect on this
we're
show.
We're trying not to be sexist. You're just being sexist right and centre.
So we've got...
Because what are used to?
No, because you say women don't play golf.
God. No,
should we not go
golf,
back to that?
More men play golf.
For God's sake.
Because it's boring. All right, listen. Just appallingly.
Do you not wish to have the results? Or would you rather just keep arguing? You can do your own show.
Probably the latter, actually.
Turn up half an hour later. So, Chris Whitty, number three, captain of the Ever Given. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if anybody knows what the captain's name is, by all means let us know.
Yeah.
Because that would be handy. But the final plank of the week nomination and victory is for Jennifer Arcuri.
Yeah.
Now, you'd like to say businesswoman, but really, she's just Boris Johnson's bit on the side, isn't she? I'm afraid.
Yep.
But now she's Plank of the Week. So finally,
well
she's
done,
been recognised for something.
Hooray. Doing it for women everywhere.
Well done, Jennifer. We'll see you next time.